We're holding on Gimel Amud Aleph, five lines from the top. Gemara had started asking yesterday, this part of the Gemara actually, there's a number of mesechtes where the Gemara kind of, instead of beginning first with the usual thing, which would be where does the Mishnah derive its halacha from, we find a number of places where the Gemara starts off first with asking about the stylistic aspects of the Mishnah. Why it uses certain terms and not others. In this case, why we just have the question why it starts with one thing as opposed to another. Soon the Gemara is actually going to ask on some of the terminology. Rav Shuda Gaon writes in his Egeres that at least one of those, and he mentions one specifically at the beginning of Kedushin, and he mentions those other examples as well, were actually added by the Rabbanan Sevaroi. So Ravina and Ravashi, when they wrote the Gemara, would have just started from, we're going to have on Gimel Amud Beis, starting with the actual, where does the Mishnah get its din from, this din of Tzara, and Tzara, etc., being Ptura min Chalitza min Ayibum. But first, we have this little bit that the Rabbanan Sevaroi added to analyze the style of the Mishnah and figure out why it was written in the way that it was.
Why did they have to do that? What's the reason why
they're in the last? No, I'm sure there must have been a specific reason. In some case, those parts, even if they're things that Rabbanan Sevaroi added, they still have the full force of the Gemara. We still use them to derive halacha and then so forth. Why they would have felt the need to do it, I don't know. I mean, maybe precisely for that, because sometimes it helps us establish who the missionary is according to. We're going to see an example. We had an example of that yesterday where the Gemara thought to say that the Mishnah is according to Reb Shimon, who put Seifa ahead of Skila. Later we're going to have another example at the end of this Amud. So there's that. Yeah. There's a big one back here. Yeah. Okay, so then, fifth line of Gimel Amud Aleph. So we said yesterday, the Gemara had started asking why the Mishnah specifically begins with the case of Bitoy, where the person who passed away is married to his niece, his brother's daughter, and therefore we say his brother, therefore we say, in that case, she's Pater Min Chalitzo Min Ayibum, and so are her Tzoros. Why we started specifically with the daughter, and we said because the whole concept that the daughter is Osir, is Arayas, is Bechlal, we don't even know it from Torah Shabbat, we only know it from Torah Shabbat Peh, we only know it by the double Gzeira Shabbat, Heina to tell us that it's Osir, and Zima to tell us the punishment. Common sense is not enough. Ein Oinshin Min Adin is the rule. You can't punish somebody based on a Kal V'Chomer. Because what happens, you execute the guy based on the Kal V'Chomer, and the next day the Beis Din wakes up and says, wait a minute, there's a way to slug up that Kal V'Chomer. So you can't do that. Yeah. All right. So the Gemara says, Hashta de'amrit kol milsa de'astum adrosha chavivalei. Okay, so you're saying that anything that comes from drosha, like in this case, the story about the daughter, that since it comes from a drosha, then it's more precious to the Tana, and therefore he wanted to start with that first. Well, then the question is, listening to Achos Ishul of a place, then why shouldn't it? Then why doesn't it list the case of the wife's sister? Again, where Reuben and Shimon, the two brothers, are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Why don't we list that last? Which, after all, that is the only one where we're going to have when we start talking on Amud Beis, the source where we know this whole concept of Tzarei Sehen. We're going to learn it from a pasuk. That talks about Achos Ishta, about your wife's sister that you're not allowed to marry her. So that's the one, out of all of the 15 cases in the Mishnah, that's the one that's most clearly stated in the Pasuk. So let that one be last, then. If you're saying the ones that come from Drosha are more Chaviv, all the other ones come from a Drosha. All the other ones, we take, as we're going to have soon, that we take the Achos Ishta, we take the example of the wife's sister, and we use it as a paradigm, we use it as a Binyan Av for all the other ones.
That's the only one from the Pasuk.
That's the only one that the Pasuk actually uses, the word Listro, so it should be last. The answer is, because since, after all, we're talking about an Isser involving, since we're talking about an Inyan involving brothership and sistership, because that the whole concept of Yibum is that the brother passed away and his brother now has to marry his wife. So at that point it mentions Achos Ishtei. But then the question is, Velisni Yala'i Bavel of a Seif. Okay, but then the Rather, this Isra Achvasa means, in other words, because we have right before Achos Ishtoi, we have right before and after it, we have a couple of others. We have Achos Emi'imo, his sister on his mother's side, Achos Imo, his mother's sister, and then we have Achos Ishtoi. So since it's included, no. The point is that we're putting together all the ones that have to do with brothership or sistership, brotherhood or sisterhood. So therefore, you don't put Achos Ishtoi last. Because you have all these other ones that are going with him. But then the question becomes, okay, but listen, you're the high bubble of us, so fine, take that whole group and move that to the end. And Achos Ishtoi will be one of the ones in that group which will come at the end of the list. Ella, so now it's like this. We started assuming, we thought to assume at the beginning, this was the beginning of the Gemara, that we're going based on Minakala Lakovit. We're starting with the ones that are Chiyuv Misa, and then we're going to ones that are Chiyuv Karis. But no, it's not that. El Tana Kurve Nakat. The Tana is going by groups of how close the relatives are. Namely, Tana Bitay or Bas Bitay. It starts off with his daughter and his daughter's daughter and his son and his son's daughter. The Kurve Asma, which all of those out of the 15 relatives mentioned in the Mishnah, those are the ones that are the most closely related to you. By Bas Bincha and Bas Bitcha, in fact, the Torah uses the expression, ki ervos chahena, they're your very own erva. So, like, they're the most close, they're the closest to you out of all of them. Which means, kind of, then, that the Gemara is kind of going back from its thing that we started with Bitra because it's Aftim and Jerusha. The reason we're starting with Bitra is more of a Balabasha thing, because you want to start with the closest relatives and work your way from there. But I did a ton of Shlosha Doris Lamata today, having mentioned a case where you have three levels of descent going down from himself. You have himself, you have his daughter, and you have his sons or his daughter's daughter. Tananami Shlosha Doris Lamata Dida. So therefore, the next group, the Mishnah list, is the ones going down from the wife's side. They were.
Is enough?
No, well. There's a limit how far they're Asim and Atoda. There comes a point with some of these relatives where they're only Asim and Rabbanon. We're going to have a lot about that in the second paragraph. We're going to talk about Shnius. The Mishnah had just mentioned the ones that are explicitly mentioned in the pasuk, which is his daughter, his daughter's daughter, and his son's daughter. No, all the rest, I think all the rest are Asim and Daraisa as well, but the Mishnah didn't have to list them because it's only listing the ones that are actually in the pasuk. Having mentioned that, then it goes to the ones from his wife, Bas Ishtoi, Bas Bino, Bas Bita, his wife's daughter, her son's daughter, and her daughter's daughter. Again, the same three generations.
Then the next thing, having mentioned three generations going down from his wife,
then the next logical thing is three generations going up from his wife. That's where we had the next group over there was Chamoisa, his mother-in-law, the aim Chamoisa, his mother-in-law's mother, the aim Chamir, and his father-in-law's mother, going up. Now, at that point, you would think the next logical thing should have been, you would say then, if you're going to go that way, you should have said after mentioning three generations of his descendants, you should have mentioned three generations of his ancestors. You should have mentioned his mother, his mother's mother, etc. The reason you don't is because those are in a separate group. We're actually going to talk about them, we'll talk about them a little bit on Omud Beis, but mainly more on Daf Yud Gimel. Those are in a group where there's not even a possibility that they were ever married to your brother halakhically. Because, for example, your mother, it doesn't matter whether she was the dead brother's mother or not. Either way, she's his father's wife, and he's not allowed to marry her. So if he was married to her, it's not even Kedushin Tyson. It wasn't even a valid marriage.
That's
the point. In other words, we can't mention in our Mishnah the Yavam's mother or his grandmother or whatever, because there's no way that his dead brother would have been married to her in the first place. Next, Vatana Achos of Achosimo. Next, we go on to his sister and his mother's sister, Kikroive Atmo, which are relatives on his side as opposed to his wife. Now that we're in a group that has to do with brotherhood or sisterhood, now we stick in over there his wife's sister. Now, there is one more wrinkle. By rights, then, by that logic, we should have put his daughter-in-law ahead of the case of where the brother was born after the new brother was born after the original brother passed away. What?
Right, it wasn't Bar-Lomai. We have the case where they were Levi was born after Reuven already died and Yibum was done with his wife. So we should have put Kalose first because that's more a matter of relativeship. Deloy Mishum Kurva Hu Dasira, because after all, in the case of Eshes Achav Shalaya Bar-Lomai, it's not an issue of that the Yavama is his close relative. The issue is because the pasuk has a mius over there, ki yeshua acham yachtov, and they're not yachtov. Ella, aidi da aidi bi isu achva, but once we're in a group mentioning cases where it's also because of brotherhood, tana eshes achav shalahe by lama, so then it finishes off that, it rounds out that group by listing mentioning a case where you can't marry your brother's wife. Even though you're full brothers, because you were born after the brother passed away, that way we round out all the possible cases that involve brotherhood or sisterhood. And then we have last. Then last of all goes the daughter-in-law, which is a different category. So that explains the order of the Mishnah. It's going in order of how closely related the relatives are to you or to your wife, as the case may be. How would you have the son? I mean, the whole point is we're talking about the daughter is married to your brother, and then there's nothing to mention about the son. There could only be a case you have bas b'noi where the daughter, instead of marrying your son, instead of marrying your daughter, marry your granddaughter. Yes. Okay. Now the next stylistic thing. My ear you taught a potres. What does the Mishnah say? Chamesh Nasir Nasha Potres Sarisehin. Potres implies that they pass to them. It almost sounds like you don't have to do Yibum, but you could if you want to. What do you mean? It's not. Listen to Oistres, which would say that they actually ask for them. It's not an optional thing, like we said at the beginning of the Masechta. You know, Yibum is one of those things. There's no gray area. It's either you have a mitzvah to do Yibum, or it's also it's an issur karis. There's no case where you don't have to do Yibum, but you're allowed to if you want to. So it should say Oistres. The answer is itana oistris, because if it uses this word oistris, havamina osul yabim, you would have thought that what does it mean? It means you can only not do yibum. Aval michvat chalitza, but chalitza, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, it's not really shayach to use the word osur as far as chalitza, because if you don't have to do chalitza, so what? So you go and play charades, and then you go make a charade of it. Big deal. You know, there's no isur involved. So the word asurais, the word oistris, whatever, would imply that you're talking only about yibum. You would think then that maybe chalitza, maybe. Because we're going to have many cases throughout the Masechta where you can't do Yibum, but you have to do chalitza, either because there's a suffix or because there's an issue of Rabbanan involved or whatever. We had one of those at the end of the Mishnah. But if we didn't have, if we had the Mishnah use a word oistres that necessarily applies only to Yibum, you would still think Aval Michlat Chalitza. She should have to do Chalitza. Because what would you think? You'd think like this. What is the Torah saying after all? Now, if brothers living together and one of them dies childless, we're saying his wife shouldn't just go marry anybody. Yavama Yava Yalah, her Yavam should have relations with her, and Vahayan Yakum Hashem Achavames, and he'll reestablish the brother's name. And then if Yibum is not going to take place, then you need Chalitza. So you would think that means in every case where there is a man dies childless, there has to be one or the other, Yibum or Chalitza. So you would think, therefore, that the Mishnah is saying that the Mishnah is saying Oistris, which means also to do Yibum. Still, you would think you have to do something. You would think in that case you have to do Chalitza. And in fact, the halacha is that not. You can't do Yibum, and there's no Chalitza involved either. You don't have to do Chalitza, and if you do, it doesn't make a difference, the halacha. It's just like play acting.
There's a reason to do
a chalitza. But that's the point. If the Mishnah had used the word oistres, you would mistakenly think maybe there is a reason to do a chalitza. Because otherwise, like, you know, so what? You know, so the guy's died and nothing's going to happen?
You do chalitza when you cannot do yibum. So
that's what
we were... in the first place, why would you do chalitza?
Because that's the point. Because it would be also to do yibum, but you would think, right, we're going to establish soon. The Gemara is going to establish
a basic rule soon.
Either on the Erva herself, or maybe not on the Erva herself, but on her Tzara. On her Tzara, maybe you should have to do Chalitza. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, you shouldn't just say Yavam al Shuk, you shouldn't just say she can go marry anybody freely. There should have to be something done to finish off. Yeah. Kamash Malan, that's why the Mishnah has to use the word poitres, which implies that potter and the word potter can be used equally for chalitza and for yibum. Okay, but then the question is, v'lisni asura lachlois. So, okay, why doesn't the Mishnah just say they're also to do chalitza? The answer is, what do you mean, also to do chalitza? My kavod. If chalitza is not relevant, then there's no issur in doing it. Again, you know, you could pretend to be standing over there, and she takes off his shoe, etc. You do the whole thing, you know, to put up as a YouTube video as an example, you know.
You said you can do a chalitza without necessarily yibum.
No. If when there's a case when you're not allowed to do yibum for one reason or another, but there's still a, okay, you know what? We have to bring in an important concept over here, which we're going to discuss as we go throughout the Masechta called Zika. Zika literally means like a chain. Mefarshim say it's related to the word vahu also balzikim. Zika is the word we use to describe when there is a requirement that the yavama, when we're saying that the yavama is in a situation where she or her tzara or whatever one or more of the yavamas is in a situation where they're not allowed to freely get married. You can't have yavama l'shuk, where she needs either yibum or chalitza. That's called zika. In our Mishnah, now the halacha is, and that's what the Gemara is trying to establish over here, the Mishnah is trying to use a phrase that implies that there's no zika in these cases. If there were only the two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, and Shimon was married to Reuben's daughter, let's say, or one of his other 14 relatives over there, as well as another woman, and then Shimon dies, there's no zika at all, because there's no other brother for there to be a zika to. That is for there to be another brother to get into Tzaris. And we're saying there can't be yibum, but there's no need for chalitza, meaning there's no zika. But that's what we're trying to figure out over here. If the Mishnah had used the word, we're asking, why can't the Mishnah say she's also to do chalitza? And the answer is, what do you mean also to do chalitza? There's no issue in doing chalitza when it's not necessary. Chalitza is meant if there's a zika and for whatever reason yibum can't be done, then you do chalitza. So let's get to that. So you can't say asura lachlitz because on the face of it, there's no issur to do a chalitza where it's not necessary, where there's no zika. In other words, the Gemara asks back, alam aloi. Well, why not? You could very well say that you could say it's also to do chalitza. Imata oimer chalitzas, because if you're going to say she's going to allow to do chalitza even though it's not really necessary, misya bemes. You might mistakenly think that she could actually do yibum as well. You would normally think that where there's shaya chalitza, that there's shaya yibum as well, and in that case, you'd have a problem. No, in this very case, the fact that she's doing chalitza, people might not realize that it's just play acting. People might think, you know what, there is a real need to do chalitza in that case. In that case, then why should she be doing chalitza? She might as well do yibum. And they won't realize that Sora Sabas is also, and it's actually a chiyuv karis, because again, we haven't taken away the issue of the brother's wife. The answer is though, kibben de b'mok mitzvah hu dasira Sora, because when do we say that Sora is also only if there's a mitzvah involved, namely the mitzvah of yibum, v'shaloi b'mok mitzvah shaya. When there is no mitzvah involved, she's allowed. Let's take the case, for example, we were discussing. Well, meaning like this. Let's say, for example, we were discussing the case. Let's say, one second. No. Hold on. Let's say, for example, we were talking about the case where Reuben and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon married Reuben's daughter, and we said therefore that she's potter min chalitza min yibum sarah her tzara. Let's change the case a little bit. What if Shimon is not Reuben's brother, but some other guy, an unrelated man? He goes and marries Reuben's daughter, which makes him Reuben's son-in-law. He also marries another woman. Now he dies. Is Reuben allowed to marry the daughter? Of course not. She's his daughter. Is he allowed to marry the other woman, the tzara? Yes. She's no relation to him other than the fact that she was his son-in-law's second wife, and he's allowed to marry her. When does the tzara become usur? Only when there's the mitzvah of yibum involved. We're saying that the daughter herself is not shayach to yibum or chalitza, and therefore neither is the tzara. But if Shimon was some unrelated guy, then there's no yibum involved. There's no mitzvah of yibum. There's no iser for Reuben now to go and marry the other wife.
There would be if he was.
Right. If there was yibum involved. So therefore, mishum hachi tani poitzeres. That is why he uses the expression that they patur them, which implies that you would have thought that there was a mitzvah involved over here, but there's not. If you use the word asurais, you would have a different problem. It's not, besides the fact that we wanted to say that asurais would falsely imply that there's not a problem with chalitza, because we said asurais could imply chalitza as well. The problem with using the word asurais is that it would imply, you know, that you're never allowed to marry this other woman, whether there's a matter of yibum involved or not. The very fact that your daughter was married to the same man as this woman is makes her also to you, makes her off limits to you. And that's not the halacha.
Since
in this case there's no mitzvah because there's no yibum involved, the other man, Shimon, was not related.
Yeah, that's not in our case, but I mean, in our case, right? I mean, in the case that you said, that was just an illustration of how he would be permitted to marry the tzara in this case.
Well, it is a tzara. It's a tzara of his daughter, but that's the point. It's a tzara of his daughter. That's the key.
But in our case, in the Mishnah...
In the Mishnah, it's because there's a matter of Yibum involved, therefore you can't.
It's not a matter of Yibum.
Well, there would have been a matter of Yibum involved if she weren't the daughter.
If it wasn't his brother.
No. Since Shimon is his brother, therefore that triggers a matter of Yibum.
Correct.
And once we say there's Yibum, then we apply the rule of Tzara.
Because it's his daughter, she patters the tzara, so there's no yibum in that case. But the point is
that if we use the word osur, it would imply that any. No. The problem is if we use the word osur, it would imply like this. It would imply in any case when you have your daughter is married to a man who also has another wife, that other wife is always off limits to you, even after the husband passes away, which is not the case.
Asher means it's all over the place.
Yes.
It would mean
that forever.
I see.
Yes.
So for that case, not for this case.
Yes.
Okay. So
therefore, use the word
mutter.
Right. As opposed to the word author would imply it's always author. Yeah. As opposed to putter implies it's only because there's a theoretical matter of yibum over here that therefore we say putter. You were asking, by the way, why we can't just say that she's potter from chalitza, because if we said she's potter from chalitza, it would imply she has to do yibum.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Then the next question. My iri the tani mina chalitza mina yibum. Listen mina yibum l'chudei. So why does the mission have to mention chalitza and yibum? Just say that they potter them from yibum, and automatically, if we know they're potter from yibum, we know they're on the face of it they're potter from chalitza.
And we said not.
That's the answer. Because then we might have thought that this is a case where you can't do yibum, but you may have to do chalitza. Yeah. Kamash malon. That's why by mentioning these two things, chalitza and yibum, the Mishnah is informing us of a basic principle. Kola ola liyibum ola lachalitza. Any case where there is the possibility of yibum, then there has to be chalitza if there's not going to be yibum. In other words, any case is a zika. In any case, when she's not shayach to yibum, then she's not shayach to chalitza either, because there's no zika then. Which only means midrabanan, by the way. Midrabanan, we're going to have many cases where she can't do yibum, with various cases of suffolk and midrabanan and whatever, where you can't do yibum. Those are just that, a matter of suffolk or a matter of zeder midrabanan of shnias or various other cases. But midrabanan,
yes, you can do yibum, but midrabanan,
you can't. Yeah, one of them was the example at the end of our Mishnah about where you had one of the wives was a minor who could have done minun and didn't. Where we say we said therefore that you have on the one hand midaraisa, so you would be allowed to do yibum with the other wife because the marriage with the ktana has no validity minatora. On the other hand, midrabanan, she's there and she's your daughter. So therefore, yeah, that's one example of that.
That's altogether.
So there's that. There's going to be talk about in the second parak the whole concept of shniyos, that besides the 20 or so women mentioned in the Torah that a man's not allowed to marry or have relations with, there's also a bunch of secondary ones that the Chacham added, various, going up and down several generations and in various directions and whatever. Yeah. Okay, next question, though. V'lisni min ha-yibum min ha-chalitza. Okay, in that case, then, why didn't the Mishnah mention yibum and then chalitza and then chalitza? I mean, on the face of it, that's the order that things happen in. You're supposed to do yibum, and if you can't do yibum, then you do chalitza as the next best thing.
So what is
the Mishnah says, "Chamesh Esrei Nashim Poitras Avatein Mina Chalitza Umina Yibum."
Oh, so he says,
"Why you have to say Chalitza and Yibum?" Fine, we establish that. Why put Chalitza first?
Right.
Yeah.
It should be Yibum first.
It should be Yibum.
Logically, you would think.
Yeah. Inami Mina Chalitza Lachude. Or actually, this is your issue. It could have just said that she's potter from Chalitza, and automatically, based on the rule we just said, we would understand if she's potter from Chalitza, she's potter from Yibum. The answer is Abashol. You're right, but our Mishnah is going according to Abba Shol, which we're going to have a bigger discussion of that later on Daf Labates. But Abba Shol, the Amma Mitzvah Chalitza Kedemus LeMitzvah Yibum. He says that the Mitzvah of Chalitza actually takes precedence over Yibum. Why? Because Abba Shol says over there like this. Abba Shol says, when you get down to it, you know, the whole concept of Yibum is... It's a real oddity. It's a real oddity in halacha. I mean, normally this woman is osur to you by an issur karis. She's an erva, and all of a sudden now the Torah is telling you yivama yavayala. So Abba Shol says it has to be that you're doing the yibum purely l'shem shemayim, purely for the sake of the mitzvah. If you're doing it for any other reason, she's pretty, or you get along together, or whatever, then
how can you marry a woman l'shem shemayim without any kind of other...
After 1 second, so Abba Shol says, if you do it with any other... He says the expression, L'shem Noi, if you marry her because she's beautiful, or L'shem Ishus, or just because you're lonely and you want to get married, or L'shem Gavacha, Ki'ilu Pegeya Be'erva, he uses the expression that says, if you're being involved with an Erva, even though the brother has passed away.
Right, because the only reason it says...
Yes. Yeah. Mamzer. He says, as far as I'm concerned, the child, any child born from such a union is the next thing to a mamzer. Actually, Mepharshim discussed, does Abba Shol mean that this is actually true midaraisa or only midrabanan? But whatever it is, Abba Shol holds that.
So he holds that nowadays,
mitzvah chalitza comes ahead of even mitzvah yibum. And now our Mishnah is going according to that by mentioning chalitza and then yibum. That's the thing, actually. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn midaraisa be is enough. Midrabanan in Kedushin, it's called Maimer. We'll get to that. There's also it's true. There are Mishnayos later in the Masechta that say whether the Yavim is always kind of there's always kind of the Yavam of Bia, whether it was B'shoigig, B'mezid, Onurus, whatever. Some Mepharshim say that yes, Abba Shol would disagree with all those Mishnayos. He would say that if you're not doing it L'shem Shemayim, you're not kind of and you're being
Kegev
Erev.
The fact that you're doing it is automatically L'shem Shemayim.
But it's not purely L'shem Shemayim. You're doing it also L'shem Noi or also L'shem Ishus or whatever. According to him, that's a problem. That's what I'm saying. So some Mepharshim say that he actually holds midaraisa, that would be a problem. Midaraisa, you have to be doing it l'shem shemayim, or else it's no good, or else you're doing an error. Other Mepharshim say it's only midrabanan.
So let's take the case further. Let's say you don't have these thoughts when you marry her, and afterwards you do have these thoughts. You would also hold that it's not
too late. It's the first bia that does the mitzvah of yibum.
No, but I understand. So
it's the first bia that does the mitzvah of yibum. That's it. After that, he's not accomplishing the mitzvah of yibum anymore.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, machlokes rishonim about who is the halacha like. Is the halacha like the rabbanan or like Abba Shol? As you would think, but maybe not, because we have our stam mishnah, the very first mishnah of the Masechta, and it's a stam mishnah yet, is according, seems to be according to Abba Shol. So there are actually the different Rishonim discuss this. They line up on different sides of the issue. The Rif and the Rambam hold like the Rabbanan, I think, and then the Ravid and others hold like Abba Shol. Tosfos also, I think, says the halacha is like Abba Shol. This comes down in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, if you open up Shulchan Aruch Avin Ezer, and you look in Hilchot Yibum Vachalitza, the Mechaber says over there that Mitzvot Yibum Pegemet, ideally you do Yibum. The Yesh Omrim that misses Chalitza Kedemus, the Namah says that's how we're knowing. So, in general, by Ashkenazim, when you have a situation of Yibum, you always go for Chalitza. You don't go for Yibum.
Okay.
By Sfardim, it depends.
Depends on what?
It depends on which posik you hold by. Because that's what I'm saying. The Machaber himself brings both opinions.
What did you get from the Bible?
He doesn't say. I mean, I'd have to look in Beit Yosef. Maybe he says over there. I don't know. But So among Sfardim, occasionally you have cases of Yibum nowadays. Among Ashkenazim, it's pretty much unheard of. Aside from the fact, and in general, I mean, very often the surviving brother will already have a wife anyway, and then you get into Cherem D'Aben Gershom, that's a whole other issue. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that technically Cherem D'Aben Gershom has an exclusion in it for this case. If you have a mitzvah of Yibum, then Cherem D'Aben Gershom doesn't apply. Yeah. Rabbeinu Gershom can't go against what the Torah says. Yivama Yavayala. But since as a practical matter, Ashkenazim hold by the Shitta that mitzvah chalitza kedemus, the Shitta of Avashol, then practically speaking, it's pretty much unheard of to have a case of Yibum among Ashkenazim nowadays. One more thing, one more stylistic thing about the Mishnah. Minyana Dereshalam Utamai. What is the Mishnah starts off with a number. Chamesh Esu Enoshim Poitrit Sarasein, and then it gives a list. That's the question. If it was just a matter, I mean, we can count for ourselves. Right. The fact that the Mishnah says a number, the Gemara does this all the time, we have to assume the Mishnah is trying to exclude some case that you might have thought is included, and therefore the number 15 tells us not. And also, Minyana de Seifel Amotamai. What about...
This
Mishnah. This Mishnah, our Mishnah. Start it off. Chamesh Esu Nashim Poitrit Sarasein, and then it has the whole list. Sefer means the end of our Mishnah where it continued, Hare Elu Poitrit Sarasein Vatsarat Sarasein, the top of Bez on the Bez. Hare Elu Poitrit, these implying but no others. So it's another mute. So what do we need? I don't mean you know the Sefer Amotamai. No, but it's an by implication. It's saying, you know, it implies only these and no others. So, l'mu'uti d'rav u'd'rav Asi. It comes to exclude the shittas of Rav and of Rav Asi. They are as follows. We'll have them later in the parak. Rav holds that the two exclusions in our Mishnah, the fact that it says 15 implying but no others, and the fact that it says Hare Elu, which implies no others, comes to tell us not like Rav and not like Rav Asi. That we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, what do Rav and Rav Asi respectively say? Rav says like this: suppose that the brothers. Suppose again, we have the two brothers, Reuben and Shimon. Shimon had two wives, Rachel and Leah. Suppose that Rachel becomes a soita. He tells her, Alti Sotri Mish Pliny, don't hide yourself with so and so. She does, she becomes a Saita. Until she drinks the water, she's also to her husband.
Right.
Now at that point, Shimon dies. According to Rav, not the Saita herself is definitely also to have Yibum. She might be also to her husband altogether. She's also to her husband altogether. She's also to everybody. Right, that's what we're going to say in a minute. The question is, what about her Tzara? Rav says her Tzara is also doesn't do Chalitza or Yibum.
And she no longer drinks the water.
Well, her husband's dead. There's no water.
She's also loyal.
I don't know if she's also loyal. I don't know if she's also to the whole world. She would have been also to her husband, but he's dead now. She's also to any of his brothers in Yibum. And whether she's also to the rest, I mean, she's also to the boyal as well. Right. Is she also to everybody else? I don't know. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But so Rav holds that the Tzara of a Soita also is in the same category as our Mishnah. That she's also from Chalitza or Yibum. On the grounds that her tzara, the soita, is Osir. The same way as we're saying that the daughter is Osir, therefore her tzara, even though she's no blood relation, is Osir. By the same logic, Rav says the soita is Osir, therefore so is her tzara. No, because like this, her husband's dead. She's not going to drink the water anyway. There's no way to be mad to her husband.
He passed away before she could have...
Before she drank the water, right.
Drank the water.
Yeah. And Rav Asi holds a similar thing, but he says as far as Tzoras Ailoinis. We talked in the Mishnah what an Ailoinis is, a woman who never physically matures and then has certain simonim that demonstrate that she's never going to. So what happens, Rav Asi says, suppose that Shimon was married to an Ailoinis. Now, not like in our Mishnah where it said turned out that she's an Ailoinis and therefore the marriage never took effect in the first place. In this case, he knew she was an Ailoinis, he accepted it, he remained married to her. He's also married to another woman. Later on in the Perek, we're going to talk about that an Ailoinis is not shayach to Yibum or Chalitza. So the Torah uses the expression, v'hoya b'chorash ha-teled, it has to be that v'lo yimach ha-shmoy mi-Yisrael, that his name won't be wiped out, and Ailonis is not shy after that. She's never going to be able to bear children. Once she's been established as an Ailonis, once she has the simonim of an Ailonis after age 18 or 20, right? Yeah. So, again, Rav Asi holds, if you have, again, Shimon had two wives, one's an Ilonis, one's a regular woman, he dies. Just as the Ilonis is Potter from Yibum Mechalitza, so is her Tzara.
Right.
So our Mishnah is telling us not like that. Okay, well then the question is, what would Rav and Rav Asi do with the exclusions in our Mishnah? The answer is there's two possibilities. We don't know. It's not clear.
What do you mean, what would Rav and Rav Asi do with them? We are coming to be my stand.
Right, but they hold according to their opinion. They can't. They're not going to argue with the Mishnah. They can't argue with the Mishnah.
So what else are they using these exclusions for?
So now, there's two possibilities. We don't know whether Rav agrees with Rav Asi or not, and vice versa. Would Rav said Tzara Soita, would he also agree Tzara Silonis, or maybe not? Maybe he said Tzara Silonis is different. Vice versa. So there's two possibilities. Either one says one, and one says the other one, and they disagree about each other, or they're explaining each other, right, that both of them would agree that both Tzara Soita. So, let's go through the possibilities. Is Svirulahu Dehadadi, if they agree with each other's things, so both a Tzara Soita and a Tzara Silonis are both Potter, then we would say, why are the two exclusions? Chodol mo'uti tzoras ma'enes. One comes to exclude the tzara of a ma'enes, where the girl was below bas mitzvah and did miyun. The case of miyun, actually, we're talking about over here. Besides, we talked about yesterday that miyun is possible against the husband. Miyun is also possible against the yavam. If the guy dies and leaves a wife with a katana, and she has to do yibum or chalitza, the same way as she would have been able to do miyun against her husband, or the same way she can do miyun against the yavam. She can say, I don't want to be married to this yavam. It's possible he does. We'll have more later in the parak about that. A lot of times the assumption seems to be that yes. Anyway, suppose that the brother had two wives. One was a katana, one was another woman. He dies. The katana is mamayin on the yavam. So we're saying that the tzara also becomes also to him. But nevertheless, she may be also to him for yibum. She's still required to do chalitza.
Therefore,
that's what the Mishnah is excluding, that you should know that Tzara Mama Enes is not in the same category. We don't say she's Potter Mina Chalitza Mina Yibum.
Right.
The Mama Enes herself may be Potter, but her Tzara is going to be Potter from Yibum, Midir Abana, but Rabbi Chayev and Chalitza. And the other mute in the Mishnah comes to tell us also that the tzara of a machzu grushasa is not excluded. Machzu grushasa is the Torah describes in Parshas Kisetze that a man is married to a woman, they get divorced, kimatabar vasdaber, etc. She remarries somebody else. Her husband is not allowed to, afterwards, if her second husband dies or divorces her, her first husband is not allowed to take her back. Lo yuchabala rishna shoshocha, yeah. Yes, in Kisetze. If he does, that's what we call here Machzu Grushot.
She was married in between.
Right. He's not allowed to do that. If he did that anyway, and she has a Tzara, so it passels her from Yibum. Again, it doesn't passel her Tzara. It doesn't passel her Tzara from Chalitza, right.
So these would be the two cases.
Yeah. That's one possibility. The Eloi Svirulahu Dahadadi, or if we say that Rav and Rav Asi do not hold of each other's case, so Rav would hold that Tzara Silonis is Mutter, and then Rav Asi would hold that Tzara Sotter is Mutter, then we would say the two exclusions in the Mishnah, Chodol Mo'ot Dechabre, one comes to be Mamayed the other one's opinion, so Rav says that the one is being Mamayed Rav Asi's, and vice versa, V'chodol Mo'ot Tzara's Ma'enes, Tzara's Ma'ak and the other one comes to tell us either the Tzara's Ma'enes or the Tzara's Ma'ak Shaseh, the other two cases.
Why would it have to be that way? Why can't you still say that it comes to Maya's two, not to the other?
We would assume if they hold not like each other, it's because they feel that their exclusion in the Mishnah comes to exclude the other one. Okay, then the question though becomes, L'Rav L'Rav Asi listeninu. Well, according to Rav and Rav Asi, if we're saying that they pass to their Tzara, then it should list them. The answer is, L'Fisha Eina B'Tzara Tzara. True, but the case...
It should list them where?
It should list in our Mishnah. Okay. Instead of having 15 cases, you'd have 17.
17 cases.
16, whatever. The answer is Lepisha Eina B'Tzara Tzara. It's true. In all of these cases, it's true in this case, she does Pater her Tzara from Yibum. Maybe not from Chalitza, but at least from Yibum. But the thing is that you don't apply the Tzara Tzara business. Namely, what did we say? We said in the Mishnah that if we had Shimon was married to Reuben's daughter and then he and another woman and then he died, we said that then there again both of them are potter from Chalitza and Yibum. We said if there's a third brother involved and he's Miyabim, the other woman, and he has another wife, and then he dies, and we said that other wife is also potter because of Tsoras Erva. That was the scenario
from the first brother.
Okay. Yes, from the first brother. That was the whole scenario we had over there, where there were a bunch of brothers, and the Yibum keeps on happening from one to the next.
Right.
And meanwhile, by the end of it, there she's a Tsoras Erva, or however many times it repeat as necessary, and
right.
She's still potter.
Right.
In these cases with Sota and the other ones, you can't say that you can't have a case where she's allowed to marry one of the other brothers. She's also the sota is also to everybody. She's also to all the brothers because she was possibly Mazana when with her first husband. Similarly with the Ilonis. Similarly with all the other ones. The Ilonis is not shayach to Chalitza or Yibum, and therefore the issue of Eshesach. So you can't have this case of Tsara, etc., unlike the 15 cases of the Mishnah, where each of them would be able to marry one of the other brothers in a way that's permissible.
Yeah, she doesn't have to. That's how she's not listed in the Mishnah. Whereas the Sota is also.
No, so rather what it is when we're saying that it's not the Sota or the Ilonis itself, that Tsara is equally also to all the brothers because she's not also because of a relationship, she's also because her Tsara is a Sota. She's also because her Tsara is an Ilonis. So therefore that Issa applies equally to all the brothers. Unlike the case where it was a daughter, let's say, where she's only Reuben's daughter, she's not Levi's or Yehuda's or whoever's daughter, and therefore the Tsara was allowed to marry one of the other brothers. Here, the Sota and the Tsara are equally also to Reuben and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and the rest of them.
One being because of a Sota and one being she's not yet.
Yes. Now we get to figuring out where we know this whole concept from of Tsaris. Menonimili, how do we know this din? To turn it up on him, Isha elachosa listika, the pasuk says a woman together with her sister you should not marry, litzra, to make them tsaros, to make them rivals, legalis evasa aleha b'chayel, to do gilui erva on her while she's alive, once the first sister dies, a man's allowed to marry her sister. The question is, aleha matamad laima, what does the word aleha add? The word b'chayeha means that it's not allowed as long as she's alive, even if they're divorced. So what does that word aleha add? It's like this. Lefisha nema yavama yavai aleha, because since we have Torah says that the yavam should have relations with the yavama, and do yavam with her, shemeani afilab achas mekala arayas hamuris b'torah, so you would think maybe it even applies to the arayas, to the other arayas, same way as it overrides the usual thing of Eishas Akev, maybe it should override all the other arayas. Like this, nemer kan aleha, v'nemer lahalan aleha. We make a gzeira shavah between these two words, aleha. Ma lahalan b'makam mitzvah, just like over there in the case of Yibum, you're talking about there's a mitzvah involved, afkan b'makam mitzvah. So also over here, when we talk about achos ishto, when it says legalis evasa aleha, it's talking even if it's a matter of Yibum, even if it's a matter of doing the mitzvah of Yibum. And yet, v'amar rachman olay tikach, and the Torah is saying, don't do it. The Ainli Elohi, okay, so then we know the wife sister herself is Osir. Tsaros Aminayin, how do we know that Tsara? Thomas Amin Litzra, so it says Litzra to make a rival. The Ainli Elohi Tsarasa, Tsaros Aminayin, then how do we know that Tsarasa? Thomas Lima Litzrur, Veloy Lotzur. There's a double ration there, Litzrur, which means to make a Tsara on top of a Tsara. That's what we get as a Tsara Tsara.
From
the two rations. Rabbi Akiva Eger has a question over here that all of the Achronim since his time are dealing with. Why the cloud do we need this? When you get down to it, what are we saying? If there was, let's say it said Lotzer, what would we say? We'd say the original woman Rachel is also because she's a daughter. The next woman Leah is also because she's the daughter of Tzara. Fine, Lotzer, let's say. At that point, she's also because she's the brother's wife, and there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So already then, in that case, she necessarily then, her tzara is going to be also because she's the tzara of an era. What do you need? What do you need that extra rage there to say tzara, tzara? The very fact that she's a tzara of an era, your brother's wife, where there's no mitzvah of Yibum, is an era. So
every,
yeah. So everybody from then until now has a field day with this question. A couple of the answers that are one of the answers from Reb Shimon Shtup, one of the big goyim from before the war, is that you would think once the halacha is once the yavama marries the yavam. Let's say there is yavam going to be done here. Once she marries him, once they have relations and Yibum is performed, she's his wife for all purposes. She's not considered anymore the wife of the original brother. That marriage is over and done.
The children are considered
the second. The
brother's children.
Yeah, they're surviving brother's children. I mean, there's the idea it helps the dead brother's neshama, et cetera, but still. So you would think in that case then, so we've taken away the whole relation that she had with the original brother. And therefore, so if it weren't for this litzra, if it weren't for this extra ratio over here, you would think that yes, a tzara should be allowed for yibum because there's no relationship anymore with the original marriage. When we have over here, you know, again we have over here the case that tzaras bitter, let's say, take the simplest example. Suppose that let's go to the case where we had the tzaris saying. Once Levi does yibum with Rivka, at that point we would think we should ignore the fact that Rivka was ever married to Shimon, that she was ever a tzara together with Sarah. You would think we should ignore that, because after all, for all intents and purposes, now she's Levi's wife.
And then if Levi dies,
you would think maybe Reuven should do Yibum with her.
Correct.
That's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush of the word Litzra.
And here it says no.
That you can't do it. Because otherwise, without that, we wouldn't know that. Without that, we wouldn't realize that there still remains a vestige of the fact that at one time she was married to Shimon together with Sarah. That's one explanation. Rabbi Hanan Wasserman has a different explanation that there's an issue that when do we say this whole matter of Sarah applies only if it's blocking the matter of Yibum, like we said on Amud Aleph, nothing else. So again, therefore, you might think in cases like this, maybe there's other arayas involved or other issues involved. Maybe Sarah wouldn't. Okay, so far we only know that applies to a wife's sister. Shara Arayas Minayin. How do we know it applies to all the other Arayas? Amrit, because we say it like this. Let's make a binyan av. Ma achos isha miyuchadis, shehi erov, chayavin al zon akaris vashavu achatis. What can we say? What's something that we can say about achos isha? She's an erva. A person who has relations with her b'mezid is chayiv kares and b'shagig is chayiv chatas va'asur l'yavam, and we see from this word aleha, from the Veda Shava, that she's also to the yavam. Ach kol she erva chayavan al zayna kares v'ashagig as chatas. So the same thing, any other erva where there's kares and a chatas involved, which means all of them, because even the ones that have nisus based in, if there's no edim and no hasra, there's still kares and b'shagig there'd still be a chatas. Asur l'yavam, so then they're all also to the yavam. Which Tosfos, by the way, points out, in a way, you would think you would have a way to shlog up this binyan av. Achos isha has a unique feature that most of the other arayas don't have. Let's say, for example, one of the arayas is a person's mother. A person can only have one mother. Or one of the arayas, let's say, is the achos isha, for example. Not achos isha is what we're talking about over here. Another one of the arayas, let's say, is your daughter-in-law. You can't make it that you're going to have any more. It's not up to you how many daughters-in-law you're going to have. With Achos Ishta, on the other hand, in principle you could. Achos Ishta, your wife's sister, you could go be Mekadosh 1,000 women, and then all their sisters are Achos Ishta. So maybe that has a special feature. Tosfos says, you're right, Achos Ishta is special in that regard. Really, later on, a few blocks from now, after we go through a long side thing about Esed Doi Chalosa, so we're going when we come back to this whole thing about Yibum, then we're going to say that actually there's a hekish that the Torah compares all the arayas to each other. So all of them are compared to each other. We don't need to use Achos Ishta as a paradigm. All of them are paradigms for each other, basically. Okay, vein the yellow, sorry, vein the yellow hain, fine. We only know the case that with the other women. Tzoreh Sein Minayin. How do we know that Tzoreh so also possible from Chalitza and Yibum? Amrit. So again, we make the same Hekesh. Ma Achoyz Ishim Yechedet, She Eva, V'chayavin Azdurna Kardes V'ashen Gosa Chadet, V'asura L'yavim. We said that the wife's sister is also to the Yavim. V'tzorasa Asura. And we just said her Tzoreh is also from the word Litzura. Once we establish the also to the Yavam because of the previous Hekesh, we reuse that Hekesh again to say, good, Saros Asura, then there's Saros Asur. And not only there's Saros, but the Saros of the Saros. Mikan Omru, from here is where the Chachamim said, Mikan Omru Chachamim, Chameshah Sunashim Poetra Sarasen, Vitsaros Sarasen, Minachalutum, and Ayub Matsai Farilam.
Cannot say that the Xer Shah was used once and you're not going to use it again.
No, it's not Xer. Well, we use the Xer Shah to make the Hekesh. Yeah, well, again, like Tosfos said, eventually we have a Hekesh that compares all of the Arayas to each other. So, you know, we'll eventually have that. Now, one more wrinkle. Yochol Shani Ma'ar Ba'af Shesh Arayas Chamuris Ma'elu Shiyut Tzoreh Seyem Asuris. How about then, maybe we should add also the six Arayas. Our Mishnah had listed 15 cases. There's six more cases which we're going to have in the Mishnah on your Gimel. Cases that where Yibum is not relevant in the first place because the brother never could have married La Halacha to any of them. We were saying before, for example, the father's wife or the father's sister or a couple of other examples like that.
It was ever to begin with.
So you would think maybe also then maybe the same thing also. She would sort of say Masuris. You would say that maybe the Saras also. Let's say, for example, the dead brother illegally married his father's wife after his father died. Let's say, and also another woman. Maybe you should say that also, that other woman, that Sarah is also for Chalitza and Yibum. And it's not like that. It's not like that because Kedushin weren't typhus with her in the first place. Right. Yeah. Amrit, so no, you have to say it like this. Ma achoyz ishim yechedet, she erva, let's look again at achoyz ishtoy. She's an erva, v'chayavan alzorna kardes v'asher gosa chadet, v'ekshali noti la'achim. She's able to marry any of the other brothers. There's no impediment to it in halacha. And we say she's also to the Yavam, and therefore Tzara is also to the Yavam. Only if actually not to Achim, only if she's one of the ones who's legally able to marry one of the other brothers, so not the father's wife or sister or what have you. Then Tzara Sasura. Yotzu Shesh Arayas Chamuris Meila, which excludes the six Arayas, which are more stringent than the 15 from our Mishnah, Horildi actually not Salachim, since none of them are able to legally marry the dead brother. Saresen Mutaris and their Saras Amutter Shein Sara Elamayach, because the only case where Sara is Aser is where she was married to where she was married to the brother. In this case, she can't be married. Well, the Tzara could be married to the brother, but the original woman, the relative can't, and therefore there's no issue. Okay, one more thing. Azhara Shamainu, so okay, that tells us, so we see from that where the Torah is saying you're not allowed to do this, from this whole thing. Loi Sikach. And where do we see, what does the Torah say, the punishment for it? Where do we see that it's Chayiv Karis? Suppose that a man does go, let's say, and do Yibum with Achoyz Ishtoy while his wife is alive, or any of the other cases. Amakro, because the Pasuk says, Ki kol asher yasim, kol ha-te'eves, anybody who does any of these te'eves, then he gets Karis. So we see that at the end of the whole parasha of Arayis, the Torah mentions over there a general Karis for all of them.
Cannot even call it Yibum. It has no meaning.
Well, okay.
But that's
what it is. It's an issue of Eishes Ach over there, and therefore the Torah is saying that it's Chayiv Karis.
Right.
That's what it tells us, therefore. Because actually, Mefoshim discussed the issue, by the way, an interesting question. Do we say, just like we had by Tuma and Tzibur, there's a similar machlokas between the Mefoshim about here. When we say about Eishes Ach and Yibum, do we say that the issue is Dechuya or Hutra? Do we say that we push it aside, or do we say that it's actually completely mutter? But it depends who you ask. But the point is that here we see that when there's a case when it's neither dechuya nor hutra, then there's an issakaris, and that's what the Torah says as a blanket statement at the end.